as today we are in the time of Ben HaMetzarim. I will continue with the second time taping the laws of Ben HaMetzarim. In the last tape, I have mentioned that the days between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av are called Ben HaMetzarim. 3 weeks, 21 days, beginning Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, ending in Tisha B'Av. These days are days of sorrow and misery, and therefore there are certain restrictions in the laws. What are the things we can do? What are the things we can do? What are the prayers for these days that change from other days? I have mentioned and elaborated that Ben HaMetzarim has two different meanings. Ben HaMetzarim, as the Pasuk said, Kol Rodefeha Isiguha Ben HaMetzarim. When Yirmiyah wrote the book of Echa, and it was saying what happened to the Jewish people, one of the things that he mentioned, that the Jewish people were running away from their enemies, and the enemy was chasing them even between the border lines that there is between one city to another, and so on. And Metzarim comes from the word Metzer, which is a borderline. However, our rabbis explain also Metzarim from the word sorrow, tzar. And the enemy chased the Jewish people between these days of misery for the Jewish people. That happened certain events on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, certain events of Tisha B'Av that caused a lot of troubles to us. As our rabbi said, five different things happened in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The Luchot were broken by Moshe on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The Korban HaTamid stopped from being offered in Beit HaMikdash in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And we know that the enemy broke through the walls of Yerushalayim on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We know that enemy put an idol in Beit HaMikdash. These are the things. Also Apostomos, the king of the enemy, burned the Torah on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. These are five things that happened. Therefore, there are tragic things that happened to the Jewish people. This on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. On Tisha B'Av, we see five other things that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a decree after the story of the Meragelim that they will not enter the land of Israel and will last 40 years in the desert. That's the first thing that happened. Then there is the destruction of Beit HaMikdash first time and second time in Tisha B'Av. There are three things already mentioned. And we know also that the people rebelled and fought the enemy after Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in the city of Beter, that was millions of people living there, and at the end they lost the battle and they were all killed till the very end. Was left no one from them, and we know that there was a miracle happened later on, because those dead people were, the enemy was so bitter against them, they did not allow to bury them, but took a year after a year, the enemy allowed them to bury them, and they were buried. Two miracles were happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the mind of the enemy to grant them the privilege to bury them. Secondly, that those dead bodies were not spoiled. And this is what happened in the city of Beter. The very fact also that the enemy destroyed Beit HaMikdash and he plowed over there, the whole place, he made it like a field, Chas v'Shalom, that he abused the place of Beit HaMikdash. These are the five things that happened in Tisha B'Av, and that's why the days between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av called Ben HaMetzarim. We've mentioned all this in the last tape, and we mentioned also what happened in the other days of Ta'anit, that we have four Ta'aniyot that considered Taniyot of sorrow. As you all know, it is Shu'a Asabe Tammuz, it is Tshu'a B'Av, it is Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Tebet, that are known to us to be a very, very bitter days for us. However, every Jew was set in the Nevi'im, a certain that must fast on these days. There are days of sorrow, and we hope that someday it will change into joyous and happy occasion, as the Midrash said, that the days between Shiva'ah, Tammuz, and Tshu'a B'Av will be one long holiday. The first day, Shiva'ah, Tammuz, will be Yom Tov, and the last day, Tshu'a B'Av, will be Yom Tov. All the days in between will be like Chol HaMoed. This would be the longest holiday that the Jewish people will have. We hope it will happen soon in our time. Now, when a person comes to fast, he must remember that he is not allowed to eat before the beginning of the day if he went to sleep, between the time of sleeping to the Ta'anit, unless he makes a condition before going to sleep that he has in mind to go, to get up and go to eat, of course before the day begins, because once the day begins he has the obligation of fasting. And therefore, a person must remember to make this condition. Everything else besides eating or drinking is permitted in the other Ta'aniyot, except Tshu'a B'Av and Kippur. Secondly, there is in Tshu'a B'Av also the restriction that the fast starts from the evening. That means we fast night and day, just like Kippur. Except the rest of the Ta'aniyot, we fast only during the day, not the night before. And washing, applying anything of lotions. Also, the closeness with husband and wife, which is permitted in other Ta'aniyot, except the Tshu'a B'Av and Kippur. If these Ta'aniyot, they come on Shabbat, they postpone them for Sunday. And there is different things about if the Ta'anit is on time or is being pushed from Shabbat to Sunday. This comes when there is people that they have happy occasions. What we call them, for example, in Milah, Ba'alei Berit, people that they are main ones of the Milah, that there are three people, Mohel, Sandak, and Avi HaBen. If there is a Ta'anit, they have to finish also fast, just like the rest of the people, except when the Ta'anit is being postponed, they are permitted to eat right after the Milah, whenever the Milah comes. That's the difference between if the Milah is on time or Milah is not on time. Of course, in the prayers we must say Anenu. And the Anenu comes even if the fast comes on Arab Shabbat. There is one fast will never come on Arab Shabbat. But those fasts that they come on Arab Shabbat, if that comes on Arab Shabbat, then we say Anenu. And we do fast till entering of the Shabbat. Because some poskim said you don't complete the fast, but this is not the halakha. The halakha we do fast. Perhaps someone tells me, I mentioned in the last tape that also Nahem, that we say in Bonei Yerushalayim. And if I was told that I mentioned that Nahem we said in all the three prayers of Tshu'a B'Av, which is Arbit, Shacharit, Mincha. This is not in the custom among the Syrian people. It is in many, many communities of Sephardim that they say Nahem and three prayers, which is Arbit, Shachrit, and Ha. And that's the custom in Eretz Israel. But among the community over here, they do like they did in Syria. They don't say Nahem only in Mincha afternoon. Arbit and Shachrit, they don't say Nahem in Bonei Yerushalayim. We have the custom to declare and announce the Ta'anit, the Shabbat, before. Some communities, they don't. We do. If a person, by mistake, he forgot today is Ta'anit, and he started eating, then he remember, what am I doing? Today is Ta'anit. Then, he is not allowed to eat anymore. But if he ate already kazait, which is equivalent of 1 ounce, he should not say anenu anymore in the prayers after that. But if he didn't eat kazait, he ate less, still he can say anenu. If a person by mistake, he took something to eat, forgetting that today is ta'anit, he said beracha. Then he remembered after he finished the beracha, he didn't eat yet. He should taste the food in order that the beracha will not be beracha levatala. And then don't eat only very little, just tasting it, in order that not to make avera beracha levatala. And then he does fast as usual, finishes the ta'anit, and he says anenu. He's considered mitane. He can go to aliyah le Torah. He can say anenu, as I said before. It is different opinions and different customs about putting on tefillin. Some, they say, they don't put tefillin in the morning of Tisha B'Av altogether. They put it only in the afternoon. Some, they say, no, they put it, but they put it home by themselves. Before coming to the shul, they pray over there, and they come to the shul to finish the prayer after Amidah. And some, they hold the opinion of the Kabbalist to put the tefillin and pray as usual in a minyan. In our community, there is both customs are being practiced. Some people, they do it because the parents did it in the house before coming to shul. They may continue to do so. However, many, they have the custom to come, put on tefillin and pray in the shul. And in a way, the way we live today in the community in New York, perhaps this is a better idea, that they will come to the synagogue and pray over there. Because it might be lost altogether, the putting on of tefillin. Who knows what could happen with our young generations that they see they don't put in the synagogue. Who knows if they will put it altogether at home. Therefore, we prefer, in order to make sure that they all put on tefillin and pray, that they will come and pray betzibur. Now, a person asked me, Rabbi, can we brush our teeth on the day of the fast? Lahalacha, halachically speaking, it's better not to. But a person, Rabbi, says, I'm so messy that I can't take it. It's so difficult for me, the way I feel with my mouth. Let me repeat. A person should not brush his teeth on the day of the Ta'anit. However, if a person comes and tells me, Rabbi, it is very, very difficult for me. I can't stay without brushing my teeth. Then we'll tell him to be very, very careful in brushing his teeth in such a way that he bends his head down, that he should not swallow any drop of water. Brush it and make sure that the water goes down, out. Throw it out. Of course, sometimes people come and ask, Rabbi, I have to take pills. What do you take the pills for? If a person is sick and he has to take pills, even if it's not dangerous for him not to take it, we tell him, this is okay, you can swallow the pills, provided he should swallow the pills in such a way not to have water with it. I'm not talking about a man that is, it's a danger for his life, and he can't take pills without water, then he will be allowed to take even a little water. When a person has no question of danger, just to make it easier for him, then we tell him take the pills without water. If a woman is pregnant, a woman is nursing, should not fast this fast. Of course, when you say pregnant, not right away, the first few days, has to be at least 40 days. Some they say 3 months. That's from the time it's already could be recognized that she's pregnant. But some permitted even 40 days of becoming pregnant. For a woman nursing, or even if she's not nursing, she stopped nursing, but it is within the 24 months after birth, she is relieved from this duty of fasting on these days. This is halachically speaking. Sometimes there are some ladies who say, no, I want to fast. We advise them not to, because at this time they need their strength, and it's not good for them to fast. Person sick, of course, even if there is no sakana, no danger to his life, he is allowed to eat. But when we say these people that are allowed to eat, we don't tell them, go and enjoy your life, eat everything of pleasure, with a limit, what they need to sustain themselves. Bride and groom, those that have milah, going to Saram Nitzibu, they should fast. Then, but if the ta'anit was postponed, they don't have to finish, or even Pidyon HaBen. If Pidyon HaBen on time, they don't have to finish. But if Pidyon HaBen not on time, that means the child was not done Pidyon HaBen, was postponed to another day, then we don't allow them to eat. There is a special prayers on the day of Ta'anit. The special prayers are, we know there is on Monday and Thursday, special Selichon Tachanunim. There is additional prayers on the days of Ta'anit. Now these prayers, if comes the time that there is Hatan in the shul, there is Milah, there is some happy occasions, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to what's supposed to be done really, that they would say Vidui, they don't say Nefilat Apayim, they don't say El Melech, they don't say Berurachum, they say only the parts that they say on the day of fast. However, I witnessed a great rabbi that comes from Syria, that he did differently. He said the Rahum, he did not say the prayer of the Asara B'Tevet or Bashvasa B'Tamud, the days of Ta'anit. I asked him, said Rabbi, I see, and Shulchan Aruch said differently, the opposite. He said, this is our custom that we do. I can testify to it, but this what was the answer given to me by a rabbi, that was a wonderful rabbi, great rabbi, and he knew the customs of the same community much better than many others, that I couldn't argue about it. to the customs in many communities that when it comes to the song of the day, what we call Shir Shel Yom, of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that they say Mizmor, and there is a custom to say also another Mizmor that belongs to the day of Ta'anit. Elokim al domilach al tahirash v'al tishkot el. However, it is the custom of our community that they don't say that Mizmor of special Mizmor of the Ta'anit. At Mincha, when we come to pray Mincha on the day of Ta'anit, there is Nesiat Kapayim, which means the Kohanim go to Sebekat Kohanim and give their Barakha to the people, as it is written in the Torah, Mitzvat Aseh, for the Kohanim to say Barakha to the people. And it is the Jewish law that they say Berkat Kohanim in Mincha. Usually we don't say Berkat Kohanim in Mincha every day because maybe a person ate or drank something and there is a din, shikor, cannot serve in Beit HaMikdash, and Berkat Kohanim considered like serving in Beit HaMikdash. If serving in Beit HaMikdash is not allowed, you are not allowed also to say Berkat Kohanim, because this is one of the services that the Kohanim supposed to do. And therefore, out of worry, maybe they drank something in Mincha, they don't make Berkat Kohanim. However, the day of Ta'anit, we do say Berkat Kohanim, the Kohanim go to bless the people, provided it will be close to sundown. The close sundown, how close it is? It should be within half an hour before sundown. However, some they permit it if it is Pelag HaMincha, after Pelag HaMincha, to say Berkat Kohanim. We prefer that they should not say Berkat Kohanim only within half an hour, which means they will start the prayer about three quarters of an hour before sundown. By the time they start and they say the Torah, when they come to Amidah, will be the time of Berkat Kohanim within half an hour. It's better than permitting it from the time of Pelag HaMincha. But if they did it from Pelag HaMincha, it's not a terrible thing. Then, a Kohen he doesn't go to take Aliyah. The same thing, any Levi or Israel. He has to be fasting in order to get Aliyah. The question is the Hazan. Hazan is not fasting. Can he pray Hazan on the day of Ta'anit? Of course, he shouldn't. However, if there is no other Hazan, he's only Hazan, the one who does not fast, and will tell him that he will be permitted to pray for the people. And even he could say Anenu, because the people are fasting. And he is representing the people and saying Anenu. The individual says Anenu and Shema Kolenu. The Hazan says the Anenu between Goel Israel and Rafaenu. And the difference in the Anenu between Hazan and the individual does not say the Beracha at the end of Anenu that the Hazan says. Hazan says, Baruch Ata Hashem Ha'onel Amo Israel Ve'etzara. The individual doesn't say that. Before Baruch Ata Hashem, says Anenu, He doesn't say Baruch Ata Hashem. He goes to Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. A different beracha at the end between the Hazan and the individual. However, if the Hazan is not fasting, and he is the Hazan, He would say the Anenu, not between Goel and Rafaenu, he will say it in Shema Kolenu. If he forgot to say Anenu between Goel Israel and Rafaenu, he says it in Shomea Tefillah, without Beracha. If sometimes they pray, there are some people, individuals, they come, they are late in the shul. They go to stand in Amidah while the Hazan says the Hazara. And he says Anenu between Goel Israel and Rafaenu. The individual should not say the Anenu over there. He waits, he listens to the Anenu from the Hazan. When come to Shema Kolenu, he says Anenu over there. Must be at least six who are fasting in order to say Anenu or to say Vaihal. There should be a majority of the minyan fasting. The reading of the Torah is Parashat Vaihal from Chumash Shemot, Parashat Ki Tetza. They have to be careful, the Vaihal, they don't read straight. So for the Kohen, they read Vaihal to the end of the paragraph. Then they turn the page, they read for the Bein Israel, they skip one page, and they read Vayomer Hashem Moshe Pesol Lecha Shene Luchot Avanim Karishonim. There is usually, in most communities, they do say Haftarah in Mincha. Haftarah and Shachrit, they all say. Haftarah and Mincha, not all they say. Most of communities, they say Haftarah and Mincha. The Haftarah is Nahamu, Nahamu, Ami. In our community, Australian community, they don't say Haftarah and Mincha of Tisha B'Av. This is the custom that comes from Rambam. Rambam did not mention that Haftarah and Mincha of Tisha B'Av. And that's the custom of the Syrian community, that they follow the words of Rambam, even though the Shulchan Aruch said to say Haftarah and Mincha of Tisha B'Av. And we know when there is a Minhag, even though that's against the Shulchan Aruch, we follow the Minhag. But that's what the Maran, in his introduction, Shulchan Aruch said, I do not want them to change the custom that there is before that. There is some communities that they stand up in certain parts of the reading of the Torah. Like when they say, Hashem, Hashem, Evrachum v'Hanun. They all stand up. Our community, they don't stand up. Not only they don't stand up, the books reject the idea of standing up. They should not stand up at all. The question now, are we allowed to play music, to dance, the custom of our community, and this is really based on halakha, that no instrument should be played between Shema Asar v'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. We do not permit it in any way. Therefore, a person has to be restricting himself not to break this ruling that it is in the community, even though maybe in some communities, they tell you when there is a mitzvah, of course they don't allow it also, just singing or playing instruments, but they tell you when there is a mitzvah, there is milah, there maybe will be allowed to, this is for a mitzvah. The custom is not to. This is the reason why there is no weddings. The wedding is a mitzvah. We don't do the wedding because of the music. And therefore, this is the custom, and we should not break this ruling that there is among us. Many, many books, they tell you it's not allowed to say Shehiyanu on these days. That means if you have a new fruit that you didn't eat yet, and you want to eat it, and you say the Berakha, you say, I have to say Berakha Shehiyanu. They said that you don't say Shehiyanu. Because very, very strange. They are giving thanks to God that let me reach this time of Salam? No. Therefore, they say, don't say Shahya now, wait till after Chabi'ah. Say Shahya nun tam. But they come to the books, they said, Rabbi, God, if I will wait till after Chabi'ah, maybe this fruit won't be in season already. Or I can't find it anymore. The proper thing is not to. However, if a person has a milah, if a person has pidyon haben, a person has something that he says shehiyanu for that mitzvah, they should have that fruit new in front of him, and have in mind when he says shehiyanu for the mitzvah and for the fruit. This is, he is covering already in his duty to say shehiyanu on the fruit. People must be very, very cautious and take care of themselves not to come into a possibility that they will hurt themselves or hurt others during the times of Ben HaMetzarim. Because since it are known as days of bad luck, therefore they say a person should be very, very careful if he comes to hit his son because of something wrong, be careful with him. A person must be, as much as possible, be careful. A person comes to me and says, Rabbi, okay, I don't want to make music, but I want to get married. I'll come to your house, Rabbi, make a minyan, make the wedding for me. No. It's days of bad luck. We tell them not to avoid themselves from making marriage in this days. And the custom is not to make a marriage between Shvah Sabbat HaMuslim till Chabi'ah. Even though some books they said from Rosh Chodesh to Chabi'ah, but we follow the custom that all the 3 weeks we don't do it. Of course, a person will come to say, can I get engaged? I say, surely. As long as it is without music, make it as fast as possible. Don't delay it, not to lose the chance of having your maid. Comes a person and says, Rabbi, I have to build a room in my house. Additional, most of he wants to build a house. So why do you want to build a house? If the building of the house for pleasure, something of joy, something my son is getting married, I want to build him a house. I want to build something new for him. We tell him, don't. That's called something of joy and happiness. These are not days of joy. But if you have no house, you have to rush yourself to have a place to live. Then this is different. Of course, we tell him, you could. But if it comes for joy and happiness, they don't do it on these days. Person has a house. Oh, all of a sudden the rabbi said, what happened here? You're missing something. You don't have the banister for the stairs. And the Torah said, Ve'asita ma'ake pegagecha. Not only a roof, anything that could be dangerous, you must make it. This is on the light even for one day. Even on Ben HaMetzarim, you do it. Because every minute that you have, it's avera, if you don't have the ma'ake. And in such a case, they do it. Come the person and said, Rabbi, could I have a haircut? I heard the people don't have a haircut from Shema'a Sabtamut Shabi'ab. So, no, this is not our custom. We Sephardim, we take a haircut. The only time we don't take a haircut, the same week that there is a Shabi'ab in it. And this year, the case is the Shabi'ab on Tuesday, between Saturday to Tuesday, which is 3 days, he cannot have a haircut. But before that, he could. Ladies are not included in this law of haircut, which is among the people that they don't take a haircut from Shema'a Sabbat HaMuslim to Chabi'ah like Ashkenazim. Ladies are permitted. Like when he asked me about Omer, and I said the ladies could take a haircut during Omer. The same thing over here. person comes and says, how about Rabbi? If I don't take haircut, I want to comb my hair. To comb his hair, it's okay. This is not something like a haircut. Person comes and says, Rabbi, I want to cut my nails. Some say the week of Tshabi A'av better. Now, therefore, a person should try to cut it before the week of Tshabi A'av. But Lalacha really is permitted if he sees that his nails are already big and he has to cut them. A person should not wash clothes on the week of Tshabi A'av. You know, boy, I have a lot of clothes to be washed. Do the washing before the week of Tshabi A'av. A person comes and says, okay, I'll give it to the goy to wash it for me. I tell him, no. Oh, I have clothes washed already, and I want to wear them on the week of Tshabi A'av. No, you can't. What should I do? I'm sweating. Then we advise our people, if they feel themselves that they have to have garment to wear, they have to change their shirts, we tell them, prepare yourself before the week of Tshabi A'av. Take a shirt and wear it for 1 hour. Take it off, wear another one for another hour, and so on. As many as you need to use it on the days of the week of Tshabi A'av. A person, as I said before, should not give it even to a goy to wash it. Some they come, they tell you today the washing is not by hand, machines. If there is necessity sometimes, we may make it easier and lighter. But a person should try to avoid it, not to wash on the week of Tshabi A'av. I have spoken now all this time about what are the laws and the customs about Ben HaMetzarim, and including the day of Tshabi A'av. There is much more to talk about. However, I will limit myself with these things most important that I've mentioned. And Be'ezrat Hashem, as we come and mourn now these tragic days for the Jewish people and the history of the Jews, and the Pasuk said in the Bible, שמחו את ירושלים וגילו בה כל אוהביה, סיסו איתה מסוס כל המתאבלים עליה. The prophet says, rejoice with Jerusalem and enjoy yourself, all of you who mourn the destruction of the Jewish temple. We understand from it, those who do mourn today will come a day of tomorrow that they will rejoice. Kol ha-mit-aber al Yerushalayim zoche ve-ro'e be-binyanan, the Gemara said. The one who mourns Yerushalayim, he will have the merit to enjoy the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. But has v'shalom, if he doesn't, we can understand the consequences. Therefore, we pray to God, oh God, please help us to see the joy, the days of rejoicing and dancing in the cities of Yerushalayim and enjoying our life as independent people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower upon us His blessings of the days of the Mashiach, that Be'ezrat Hashem, as our Rabbi said, the Mashiach usually is born on Tisha B'Av. That's why they call it the time of Nahamu, and they permit us certain things to make it lighter in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. We are looking and longing to see these days that will be changed from days of sorrow to become the day of a holiday. And that's why we don't say Tahanunim on Erev Tisha B'Av, because we believe in this, our hope that this day will become a holiday. And we will not have to say Tahanun at all. Let's hope it will be soon in our time. Amen. Thank you. in our beat, Shachrit Mincha. There is an additional prayer on Shavuot. What is it? Nahem. Some people, they say Nahem only in Mincha of Shavuot afternoon. We say Nahem in other three. What is Nahem? In Tishkon B'toch Yerushalayim Eirecha, the Berachah that they speak about Yerushalayim and the Amidah. In the middle of that Berachah, there is a special prayer for